The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot, WWTC, Minneapolis, St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis. 20 years of intelligent talk.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. President Trump is expected to travel to the U.S.-Mexico border Tuesday to highlight his administration's work on the border wall. Andrew Stewart reports.
A President Trump will travel to the town of Alamo, Texas. Mr. Trump will mark the completion of 400 miles of border wall. The president will also mark his administration's efforts to reform what they describe as our nation's broken immigration system. Mr. Trump's 2016 presidential campaign focused extensively on his desire to build a border wall.
Average price of gasoline jumping 9 cents a gallon over the last 3 weeks to $2.35. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg says a rise in crude oil spurring the increase, but the price at the pump is 30 cents less than it was 1 year ago right now. This is SRN News.
These are the official rules for all contests on Salem Media Group and Salem Communications Holding Corporation stations in the Twin Cities. Collectively, Salem TC from time to time will conduct contests. No purchase necessary to enter or win. If for any reason a prize is not available, a substitute prize may be offered. Winners will be limited to one prize every 30 days. Winners of a major prize will be limited to one every 365 days. A major prize is any prize with a value of more than $1,000. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents that are responsible for any and all taxes. For full contest rules, see this station's website.
The second hour of the closer edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network coming up next here on AM 1280 The Patriot, just after 2 o'clock. Glad to have you with us. Our Stand With Israel tour is filling up. We've got a lot of local listeners embarking on the Stand With Israel tour. It's Dennis Prager, it's Mike Gallagher, and it's you. October 27th to November 5th of 2021, 10 days in the Holy Land. This is a wonderful trip. It's time to stand with Israel. You can do it by going to am1280thepatriot.com and getting registered for the trip. For tonight, down to about 22, cloudy skies right into Monday with a high of 34.
Bye for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
Hey, it's 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with hour number two of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take your phone call, 651-289-4488. If you'd like to weigh in via Twitter, feel free to do so at hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. And if you'd like to contact us on Facebook, go to Facebook.com, do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network, and give us a follow and a like, if so desire. And we appreciate your support of these programs, various Northern Alliance Radio Network programs. I'm going to take this first segment to kind of wrap up the discussion on the Capitol riots. I've said all I'm really going to say. If you'd like to call in, continue to discuss, again, 651-289-4488 or hashtag NARN Show on Twitter. John, if you have cut number three ready to go here. I've emphasized multiple times in the first hour during my mini monologues that I'm not really interested in the whataboutism. Well, what about this? What about that? But the problem is, when you see media members rightly condemning these riots, you know, they were correct in principle, but then all of the riots over the summer, either they're in complete denial or flat out justifying them, you can't be surprised when people are hostile toward your
line of work. And I'm not talking about hostile, and I'm not advocating for people to get violent toward media members. Absolutely not. But when they call you out and call you hashtag fake news, which I think it was Chris Cuomo who hyperbolically said calling media fake news is the equivalent of the N-word in our industry, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Okay, Chris Cuomo's a moron, to be fair. When you get all righteously offended by people calling you out, you know, you go head for the fainting couches and clutch your pearls when people denigrate your industry. You can't be surprised when you see the dramatic difference in the way you cover some of these things. And again, this is cut number three. This is a supercut from last summer. Different outlets, particularly MSNBC, is largely featured on this one. This is the media talking about the different protests and some that devolved into violence. Listen to the rhetoric they used in these compared to what they talked about in the Capitol last Wednesday. So, John, cut number three, go.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally.
As fire is raging in the background.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
They are strictly principled anti-fascists, and they've taken a principled stand to stand against white supremacists and white nationalists wherever they may show up.
I argue to you tonight, all punches are not equal. Morally,
it says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they were there fighting. Listen, there's, you know, no organization is perfect. There was some violence.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
Well, thank goodness for the looters, man.
And please show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
First I don't Amendment. Care much about statues.
Shouldn't that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
What you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Do not get it twisted and think that, oh, this is something that has never happened before, and then this is so terrible, and where are we, and these savages, and all of that. This is how this country was started.
People get mad. And people get sick of it. People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Most of the major movements in American history have started at the grassroots level and at some point have turned into direct conflict with American government. So remember your history before you judge your present.
Thuggishness is thuggishness wherever it comes from politically, and we should be the first to call it out.
I disagree.
Okay, so there you have it. Look, I'll grant you that storming the Capitol based on the premise of fabrications that the president told and protesting over seeing a man literally dying with a police officer's knee on the back of his neck, two dramatically different things. I will grant you that. But protests is one thing. They're flat out justifying riots. And by the way, CNN, they studiously, judiciously avoided the word riot until, this was from this past summer, they avoided the word riot until, literally until, there was unrest outside CNN headquarters in Atlanta. Then all of a sudden it's a riot. And another thing that drove me absolutely bonkers this past week. The administration that says, okay, you know, once Joe Biden officially became president-elect, says, okay, we need to heal, we need to move forward, we need to put this administration in the past, in the rearview mirror, move forward, we need to heal, come together, unify, da-da-da-da-da. You know they're full of crap. You know they're not really interested in that. Well, cut number four, Vice President-elect Joe Biden. This is about a minute and a half or so. Let me see. I want to kind of follow along here. Yeah, cut number four. Joe Biden, president-elect, in the aftermath of the Capitol riots. Here was his perspective.
What we saw yesterday in plain view was another violation of the fundamental tenet of this nation. Not only do we see the failure to protect one of the three branches of our government, We also saw a clear failure to carry out equal justice. I don't know if you used to say in the Senate, excuse a point of personal privilege. A little over an hour and a half after the chaos started, I got a text from my granddaughter, Finnegan Biden, who's a senior in her last semester at the University of Pennsylvania.
Holy cow, you're old.
She sent me a photo of military people in full military gear, scores of them lining the steps of the Lincoln Memorial because of protests by Black Lives Matter. She said, Pop, this isn't fair. No one can tell me that if had been a group of Black Lives Matter protesting yesterday, they wouldn't have been treated very, very differently than the mob of thugs that stormed the Capitol. We all know that's true. And it is unacceptable. Totally unacceptable.
Yeah, so much for healing and unity. Basically calling Capitol Police a bunch of racists. That they treat the white people with kid gloves, whereas the black people are treated like thugs, that they have to have folks here in military gear. Did anybody inform Walter the puppet? I mean, Vice President or President-elect Biden, that people died at the Capitol. Police were literally told to stand down in multiple cities during these Black Lives Matter protests, including Minneapolis, the week of the riots in Minneapolis. The Friday night, police were literally told to stand down when the worst of the unrest and buildings burning and businesses being looted took place. When the worst of it took place, police stood down. So, yeah, we all know that's true. No, we don't all know that's true. Those of us who actually remember things from a few months ago, which, to be fair to Joe Biden, I don't think he remembered what he had for breakfast yesterday, but that's another story entirely. It's a bunch of garbage. But so much for healing and unity. We're going to, you know, heal and unity, but yeah, those Capitol police officers are a bunch of racists. That's really going to help unify things. Kamala Harris, Vice President-elect. This is a longer clip. I'm not going to I may jump in and stop it at certain points here, John, but here, let me see if I could find it. Cut number five, Kamala Harris. This is a remarks that she gave. I think she followed President-elect Biden after this. This is about 6 minutes long. Not going to play the whole thing, but I may jump in at certain points. Here we go.
One of the fundamental principles upon which America's democracy rests, a principle as sacred as a civic value can be, is fidelity to the rule of law. In times of stability, that principle can seem abstract, like something out of a legal textbook that isn't relevant to our daily lives. But in times of upheaval, we come to realize, to appreciate, just how vital the rule of law truly is. What we saw yesterday in our nation's capital was, as the president-elect has called it, an assault on the rule of law. And it has no place in our democracy. So I believe we must ask ourselves two questions about what happened yesterday. What went wrong? And how do we make it right? And I believe the answers require us to recognize that the challenge we're facing in our country is about more than the actions of the few we watched yesterday. It's about how to reform, how to transform a justice system that does not work equally for all. A justice system that is experienced differently, depending on whether you're white or black. A justice system that is experienced differently.
Stop right there.
If you're rich.
Okay. And I'll just finish the quote she finished with. Is we witnessed two systems of justice when we saw one that let extremists storm the United States Capitol, flat-out lie. They did not let them storm the U.S. Capitol. If you watch some of the video footage, you can very clearly see barriers were broken down to get to the Capitol. And another that released tear gas on peaceful protesters last summer. Tear gas was released at this particular protest, too. Tear gas, rubber bullets, all of that. A woman was shot to death. Did nobody see that? Did nobody hear about that, understand that? A Capitol Police officer was killed. More people were killed at this particular protest than any Black Lives Matter protest, where, again, police in a lot of these cities were told to stand down. So we're going to revise history. We're just going to resort to gaslighting here. You know, people, what's ironic is the people who called President Trump a fabricator, gaslighter, whatever, which, let's be honest, a lot of instances he was, but they're going to ignore the flat out ignorance of facts in this case. There was tear gas and rubber bullets released in the Capitol building. That is a fact. And the fact that she said, we let extremists storm the Capitol and the other released tear gas at peaceful protesters last summer. People that were looting private property and burning down businesses is not a peaceful protest. Sorry, it's not. It's not. So there you have it. The president and vice president-elect, both of whom are urging unity and healing and whatever. And my wife sent me a helpful reminder. When they say heal, they don't mean H-E-A-L. They mean H-E-E-L. So, yeah, that's an excellent point. And it's spot on. Yeah, right. I kind of looked behind me when you thought, what? Well, who let that dog in? Very well played, Consigliere. So, yeah, we're just going to apparently resort to gaslighting now. Mike is in St. Paul. Mike, if you can hang on, I promise I'll get to your call when we come back. And take more of your phone calls, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. Brad Carlson, the closer, coming back with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
Limitless access to intelligent talk. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities, but serve worldwide.
Our culture continues to struggle to find its footing. Heritage Christian Academy's footing remains secure. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of all they do. See how a Bible-based academic education can support the values and teachings of your Christian home. Attend Prospective Family Information Night January 12th at 7 p.m. Staff will be on hand for information, to answer questions, and conduct tours in a safe, no-contact environment. Space is limited. RSVP at heritageweb.org. That's heritageweb.org.
Have you been suffering from numbness, tingling, burning, or restless pain in your hands or feet? Does your doctor insist on giving you more medications, but your neuropathy is not improving? Stop masking the symptoms and get answers today by contacting Dr. Knight at Abundant Life Health Center in Chanhassen. If you do nothing, you run the risk of suffering long-term complications like infections, poor wound healing, balance issues restraining you to a walker, and possible amputations. In fact, 86,000 Americans lose a limb every year to untreated neuropathy. Get your life back today. Abundant Life Health Center has helped hundreds of patients reverse their neuropathy. If you're ready to regain your independence, contact Dr. Knight at Abundant Life Health Center in Chanhassen. As a Patriot listener, you receive a special $49 Get Acquainted offer. That's a $250 value for just $49. Neuropathy doesn't wait around. You shouldn't either. Call 952-300-8338 to schedule a full neuropathy workup with Dr. Knight.
Hi, this is Lee with the Kingdom Builders. Psalm 23:4 tells us, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We were talking briefly about caning the other day, a punishment that can quickly deter people from crimes. The Lord's staff, a tool of the shepherd, and the rod, to correct behavior, both bring comfort to the psalmist. Kinda crazy. I sure do find it easy to appreciate when the Lord uses the staff to guide me, and as a consequence, the other sheep that walk with me. It's a little less easy to appreciate the use of the rod, even though I know it is absolutely required to drive folly from a child of God. Isn't it strange that these two very different tools bring us closer to the very same comforter? If you have any comments about this or other scripture, feel free to contact me at lee@thekingdombuilders.com. That's lee@thekingdombuilders.com.
Join the Patriot Freedom Fan Club for prizes, contests, quizzes, and more. Plus, get exclusive access to pre-sale tickets to events. It's free to join. So visit am1280thepatriot.com today.
Welcome back, AM1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning in. Here to take your phone call, 651-289-4488. And they're not often seeing what they like. And they're often not seeing what they like. Hashtag Narn Show is what you can use if you reach out to us via Twitter, hashtag N-A-R-N Show. As promised, we want to take Mike's call. Mike is in St. Paul. Mike, I appreciate your patience. You are on the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Sure, Ben. See, I wanted to say, you know, this acrimony that has divided this country isn't going away.
No.
It's not going to go away because the leftist media isn't going to go away. They
Correct.
Are going to punish these smelly Walmart people for years and years. I mean, AOC has already said she's got a hit list. So, you know, I want
Correct.
To say that I think President Trump, one of the greatest things that he's done is that he forced them to show who they are. They are what we all knew they were.
Yep.
But they don't, they're unabashed now. They're not even going to hide what they are. So I think that has to be added to the accomplishments. And then I wanted to just quickly see if you remember who said these quotes. You need to get out there and harass and get in their face. Go in the restaurants.
Yeah, it was Maxine Waters.
Waters.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the old saying is, when somebody goes low, you go high. Nope, we're not going high. We're going low. And when we go low, we're going to kick them. Remember that one?
Eric Holder. Yep. Remember
Thank
it well.
You. Mm-hmm. And finally, if your neighbors are Republicans or independents, get out there. Get in their face.
Is that Cory Booker?
That would be that would be the Messiah Hussein himself.
Ah, okay, okay. I mean, they all have a variation of that, yeah, but okay, I gotcha.
Yep, yeah. So of course, this is what they do. They're going to lay this at Trump's feet. But you ridicule and you scorn and you demonize half the country as they've done and will continue to do. What did you think eventually was going to happen of the worst of that group? And that's what that was. That was the worst of that group.
Oh, sure.
That didn't represent us.
Yeah, correct. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. You're exactly right. That's not represented. I mean, 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. A very small percentage engaged in that. But, of course, that's what's going to get the attention, and that's what's going to get the coverage, as it should. I'm not saying don't cover it. Okay, it's a very big story, and a handful tried to inflict serious damage while members of our government were exercising their democratically elected duties. So we can't gloss over that, but this idea that it represents 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump, not at all. And that's why millions upon millions were outraged, because that's how they're going to be portrayed now. Judge Jeanine, well, in the sound clip I played in the first hour, said that very thing. You know, look basically what you've done to us. You know, we're not like that. We're not, that doesn't represent us. But you're also correct in another aspect of it, is people are just running on fumes these days. And the lockdowns and the government edicts with this pandemic have a lot to do with that. And people haven't been allowed to go to work, to engage in their livelihoods, to be with their families, whatever else, while they see all of these government workers still collecting a paycheck. And because they know as well as anybody that those who are laying down these government mandates, these stay-at-home orders, closing businesses, what have you, the ones who are implementing these edicts, if you will, they're still getting a paycheck. They're still doing as well as they've ever have. Isn't it amazing that those who have no idea what it takes to run a business, those who don't stand to lose anything, are the ones that so quickly make these edicts? I dare say that if someone had any concept of what it took to run a business and support a family and make difficult decisions, that they would probably, I'd at least like to think, hope they'd have a little more compassion behind some of these decisions. But this has been the problem. Instead of giving us basic instruction on how to move forward and saying, here's what the CDC recommends, World Health Organization recommends, you know, we can't shut down the country, okay, because we understand people need to provide for their families. But if you're going to do that, and if you aren't able to work from home, and if you aren't able to shelter in place, these are the steps that you have to take to ensure everybody stays as safe as possible. I dare say, there's no way to know this, of course, but I dare say we'd be in a lot better shape than we are now, because some of the states with the most draconian lockdowns, particularly California, New Jersey, New York, have been the worst in terms of death toll and positive case rates and what have you. So anyways, that was another, I didn't mean to go down that particular road, but it plays into a larger point that people are just on edge. You know, people want to get to have some sort of normalcy in their lives. And because they can't have normalcy in their lives, but these our elected leaders get to continue to go on and not sacrifice anything, the inequity is tragic, and it's immoral, no doubt about it. And this has hurt people. And yeah, you want to talk about rampant poverty. I mean, we've seen the rampant poverty in some of these inner city areas. It's very much documented, and it's very much real. And people in those communities have been marginalized for a long, long time, and they continue to vote Democrat. But yet, if you tell people in those areas, well, you're voting against your own best interests, you know, that's deemed racist. Well, what about the people who are living in Appalachia? They finally felt like they had somebody in President Donald Trump speaking on their behalf. And people say, well, Donald Trump's one of these elitist billionaires as well. What does he have in common with these people? Well, he's actually been nose to nose with guys who put on a tool belt and gone to work for a living. He's associated with people like that. And so when people in Appalachia, you want to talk about rampant poverty and no hope of anything, they finally felt like that they had someone they could rely upon in President Trump. And again, I'm not a big advocate of making somebody a cult leader or deify a government official. That's not what I'm saying at all. But they finally felt like they had somebody who was listening to them and listening to their concerns. And when they were constantly dismissed, and when they're flat out dismissed as deplorables, yeah, that's going to build up. The resentment is going to build up, and the anger is going to build up. Now, again, storming the Capitol, causing chaos, rioting, resulting in injuries, severe injuries, unfortunately some fatal injuries, there is absolutely, positively 100% zero justification for that. But you can at least understand their mentality. But you see, nobody's going out and analyzing the mentality of those people who live in rampant poverty in the Appalachian areas. But yet, when cities like Minneapolis and Kenosha, Wisconsin are burned to the ground, we're told, well, we have to understand their rage. And yeah, I understand their rage, and I understand these communities have been marginalized, and they've been the victims of police brutality and are constantly seeing black men killed by police on TV, and they don't feel like they're getting justice. And the anger, I don't deny, is very righteous. But why is their rioting considered righteous, but others aren't? And again, I've condemned both types of riots and looting and unrest like that, where people are physically injured. Condemn them both, full stop. But yet it seems in our media establishment, only one is more abhorrent than the other. And I think you could figure out which one that is. So, yeah, we appreciate the call, Mike. I didn't intend to go in that direction, but it helped trigger a few thoughts regarding this. So I do want to get into the Georgia elections coming up. Absolute disaster for the Republican Party to lose both runoff elections in Georgia for the U.S. Senate this past Tuesday. But you know what? It was a self-inflicted wound. It was. It absolutely was. And, man, better hold your breath for these next couple years. That's all I got to say. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Brad Carlson, the closer, coming back with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
Business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers who are making buying decisions for the new year. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundMSP.com. SurroundMSP.com. Connecting you with new customers.
I grew up poor, which is even worse than being poor.
From poor to CEO, the incredible journey of Herman Cain.
My American dream entailed working hard and making $20,000 a year. But I surpassed that goal and became a corporate CEO.
The story of one man's amazing journey from a poor, undereducated family to the highest levels of corporate, social, and political America.
I didn't have to be taught work ethic. I saw it firsthand, and it had a big impression on me.
From poor to CEO, the amazing true story of the American dream that will inspire and motivate you and your family to live your best life.
We'll all be able to say free at last.
See the movie From Poor to CEO, The Incredible Journey of Herman Cain, available at salemnow.com.
Use promo code FAMILY for 20% off. SalemNow.com, promo code FAMILY.
If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. Thanks to Genesis 950, I can have guests for the holidays without the shame of pet stains and odors. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can even be used in a carpet cleaning machine. And it's green, so it's safe for my family and pets. Before you purchase new carpets, you must try Genesis 950. It's made in America. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's great for floors, bathrooms, kitchens, garages, grease stains, wheels, tires, degreasing engines, and upholstery. Need a holiday gift for a pet owner? They will love Genesis 950. It's available on Amazon. However, if you order a gallon direct at Genesis950.com, you will receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and discount using code SALEM. That's Genesis950.com. Genesis950.com.
Welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. It's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Hashtag Narn Show for any comments or questions. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. I do want to get to the debacle in Georgia. Oh, what a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. Going into Tuesday, both U.S. Senate seats out of Georgia were up for election. Incumbent Republicans David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler were defeated by Democrats John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, respectively, leading to a 50-50 split in the U.S. Senate. But because the Democrats will be in charge of the White House, a Vice President Kamala Harris will be the tie-breaking vote of any 50-50 votes. So the Democrats have the de facto majority in the Senate, which means they will have chairing committee positions, which means Bernie Sanders is chairman of the Budget Committee. Oh, what a nightmare. Chuck Schumer will be able to determine what issues come to the floor. This was a self-inflicted wound by the Republicans. I will get to that in a little bit. But what we have to hope for is that the Republicans can somehow stay, you know, hold cold court the next couple of years. I mean, there's going to be some changes. The Democrats are able to pass fiscal issues just by reconciliation. They don't need a filibuster to break off debate over fiscal issues. So one of the things that is going to be coming around the bend is a gun tax, which even Republicans, a couple of Republicans, particularly Senator Pat Toomey out of Pennsylvania, supports. And that just, again, is done through reconciliation. So be prepared to have your guns taxed. Now, the guns you own currently won't be taxed, but any guns going forward will be heavily taxed because, of course, they know they can't enact gun control. So they want to make it as painful and uncomfortable as possible when it comes to owning a firearm. So that's some of the things to look forward to. So we have to hope that Joe Manchin, Democrat senator out of West Virginia, keeps his word, because if the Senate tries to end the filibuster with a simple majority, you see, you can you can change the rules with a simple majority. So it would only take 51 senators, or excuse me, it would take all 50 Democrats to say, hey, we want to get rid of the legislative filibuster, so it only takes a simple majority to end debate on any legislation. And then, of course, Kamala Harris would be the deciding vote, and she would break all ties. So we have to hope that Joe Manchin keeps his word from a few months ago when he said that he wants to maintain the deliberative body of the Senate. He basically said there's no point in having a deliberative body if it's just going to be a simple majority to end debate on legislation. So Joe Manchin has said on the record he is against eliminating the filibuster. So if Joe Manchin and 50 Republicans vote no on ending the filibuster, then that's safe. Then the Democrats can't go hog wild with their Green New Deal, giving statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, expanding the seats on the Supreme Court. They can't do any of that. And that's good news. And so the Republicans would just have to hold on tight, because in 2 years, after redistricting takes place, it'll probably be favorable to Republicans, because the majority of a significant majority of states have legislatures that are all Republicans and a Republican governor. So they would be in charge in redrawing the congressional districts. And here in Minnesota, it's not going to be the DFL that is in charge of that, thank goodness, because the Republicans held on to the Senate. So ultimately, the Republicans and Democrats in the Minnesota legislature won't agree on how to redraw districts, so it'll eventually get kicked to the courts, and they'll at least be a little more neutral. So my point in bringing all of this up is the Republicans, all they had to do was win one of these two Senate seats, and they lost both. Both of them were by less than 1%. And now people are just ecstatic. Oh, my God, Georgia's a blue state. Georgia's a blue state. No, it really isn't. Because you had the Georgia State Senate cumulatively got, I think, 54% of the vote. The Georgia State House cumulatively got like 51, 52% of the vote. The right-of-center candidates in the U.S. Senate races, David Perdue and the Libertarian candidate got 51, 52% to 48% for John Ossoff back in November. And Kelly Loeffler's seat, which had 21 people running for that in November, the right-of-center candidates had 50-plus percent of the vote. The only one who didn't get 50-plus percent of the vote, the only Republican who did not get 50-plus percent in November was Donald Trump, the president. And you almost saw this coming. You saw this coming because the president was laser-focused on Georgia, saying there's no way I could have lost Georgia. There's no way I lost Georgia. Well, he did. People were tired of the president, but they wanted the other Republicans, or they didn't like John Ossoff or Raphael Warnock. So you could almost see this coming because they were relitigating the presidential race. And you had a rally at the Georgia State Capitol, I think, back in December, where you had a bunch of pro-Trump people saying, we're going to stop the steal. And if the Republicans don't show up for us, we're not going to show up for them. And Lynn Wood at one rally said, if Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue don't come here and support the president, you shouldn't go out and vote for them, yada, yada, yada. The Republicans were talking themselves out of voting for Perdue, Senators Perdue and Loeffler. And had Republicans just shown up on their normal turnout that they usually have for runoffs, because Georgia, typically no candidate, because there are three or four candidates in these statewide races for U.S. Senate, typically no one candidate gets 50%. So it goes to a runoff, and the two candidates in the general election that got the most votes, they could then compete in a runoff so that somebody ultimately will get 50% plus one. So the Republicans have the advantage. There are more Republicans in Georgia than there are Democrats. That's just a fact. And the Democrats turned out in higher numbers than normal, but the Republicans got nowhere near their turnout toward Election Day, and yet only lost by less than 1%. It just, what a disaster. And it was a self-inflicted wound. You had the President of the United States went there on Monday, January 4th, the day before the runoffs. The day before the runoffs, the president was still relitigating the presidential election, saying the election was stolen. He was taking out ads saying the election was stolen. And you had Democrat political action committees trolling the Republicans saying, yeah, you're right, Republicans, you ought not vote in this election. Instead of the Republicans going out there and voting and proving a point, okay, we're going to show up in huge numbers, and if Republicans show up in huge numbers and we still lose, that'll prove to you that the election is rigged. They could have gone out and proven a point that the election was rigged. But had they turned out in those huge numbers, they would have won. And so therefore, it would have punctured the narrative that the election was stolen. Because why would you vote out Donald Trump, but yet not vote out members of Congress that could undermine his agenda, particularly vote out two U.S. senators that would vote to keep Trump's agenda? And I've cited Eric Erickson on this program a lot. He's a Georgia radio host. He's an elections law lawyer. He knows Georgia politics as much as anybody. And I knew the Republicans were in trouble. Tuesday night, I couldn't watch. I couldn't bear to watch. I knew it would be close. I said, you know what? I'm not even going to watch. I felt pretty good that the Republicans would get at least one, but maybe both. From what I kept hearing, the Republicans were in good shape, because the way the Democrats were turning out for early voting and absentee voting, it was slightly ahead of where they normally are for runoffs, but not so much so that it would swallow up Republican votes. And it was all Republicans had to do was show up on Election Day. So I checked the weather forecast on Election Day in Georgia, and it was beautiful throughout the entire state. It's like, okay, weather isn't going to be an excuse. If Republicans just turn out on Election Day, they should be fine. And that was the indication I got. So I decided not to keep track of it. Well, about just shortly after the polls closed, Eric Erickson, who I follow on Facebook, put together a Facebook Live, and the title of the video said, Georgia Republicans are not showing up. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I literally couldn't sleep that night. My stomach was in knots. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I got to get over this. Got to get to sleep. Just deal with it in the morning. And sure enough, Raphael Warnock was declared the winner about midnight. And then John Ossoff, it took about a day, but he was eventually declared the winner as well. And Eric Erickson explains why. To the extent the election was stolen, the GOP stole it from itself. To the extent there was malfeasance, the president running ads on Atlanta radio this very week that the election was stolen is the malfeasance, not local board of elections. To the extent there is misfeasance, the state GOP chair in Georgia attacking Republican Secretary of State and lying about what happened in November is the misfeasance, not local boards of elections. And, by the way, I would note that for those trying to rewrite history, Brian Kemp actually made a good pick with Kelly Loeffler, who would have won had the GOP not sabotaged itself. The state's Republican Party should resign en masse. They spent so much time relitigating November and picking fights with their own Georgia Republicans that they did not do too much for December. Yes, the party failed. Look for David Schaefer, the state party chair, to run for statewide office claiming to be a Trump defender. I just cannot see him credibly staying as party chair, being the first Republican Party chair in the state since the early 2000s to see the party devastated. The president ran ads over the past week telling Republicans that the Georgia election was stolen. He came in the night before the election and spent most of his time attacking the GOP. He, too, helped suppress the vote. His voters did not vote. Yes, the president deserves some blame here. The Georgia congressional delegation also told everyone in Georgia and its Republican Secretary of State were collaborating with Democrats to steal the vote. So Trump voters did not show up. They took the my way or the highway approach. The area of the state that saw the GOP most likely to stay home is the area of the state with the QAnon congresswoman who has vocally complained the election was stolen and everything is rigged. It really was amazing. There you go. It was a self-inflicted wound. It was a self-inflicted wound. All you had to do was show up in normal turnout numbers that you normally get for runoffs, even though turnout for Democrats would have outpaced normal Democrat turnout. If GOP normal turnout, even against what the Democrats turn out this particular cycle, the Republicans would have won. So for the first time since 2010, the Democrat Party will control the White House, U.S. House, and U.S. Senate, though it will hardly be the mandate, they believe, given it's a 50-50 split in the Senate, with VP Kamala Harris breaking all ties. And just like that, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin is arguably the most powerful figure in Washington. Imagine that. As I've emphasized several times in the show, let's just hope he's good for his word and his commitment to prevent a progressive utopia. And the way to do that is to join all 50 Republicans in voting no, we're not getting rid of the legislative filibuster, so that we can endure these next 2 years and then take back the U.S. House. The Senate's going to be more difficult now. Now that it's a 50-50 split, there are more vulnerable Republicans in 2022 than there are Democrats. So the Democrats will take an outright majority in the Senate in 2022. So Republicans need to get their heads in the game and focus on taking over the House in 2022, which looked like a realistic possibility after Election Day. But given everything that Trump and his supporters have done since Election Day, even that task has become that much more formidable. So there's still hope to salvage a Republican Party, I believe, given what we got this last election cycle with the most diverse background of a Republican caucus in the U.S. House in my lifetime. But we need to work hard to keep it and start pressing forward with a common sense agenda as much as you can. I mean, again, the Democrats control everything, so you're not going to get agenda items out there. But press forward with a meaningful agenda. But the stink of Trump can't be attached to it. I mean, that ship has sailed. Trump is no longer someone whose coattails you can ride upon. And anybody who is clinging to Trump after this past week, you do so at your own peril. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. Brad Carlson, the closer, coming back with one final segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Whoa, look at all these options.
You can fill an entire warehouse with all the different ways you can stream The Patriot. Top shelf choices include AM1280ThePatriot.com, our free app, and Radio.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and now I agree. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor for Pete and Seth selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. That's correct. Each of the four ingredients deal with inflammation on a different metabolic pathway. That right there. Approaching your pain from four different angles may very well be why so many Americans find such wonderful pain relief. If you have back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or even just getting older, you must order the 3-week quick Netflix start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. I think it could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1339. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota.
Imagine sharing a prayer request from your phone and seeing as those around the world take your request before God. The new Pray With Me prayer app will connect you with other Christians worldwide who have experienced the power of prayer and know the encouragement it can provide. Visit praywithme.com to discover how your faith can grow when we pray without ceasing. Receive prayer. Pray for others at praywithme.com.
Take your favorite Patriot hosts with you wherever you go by downloading our app. Listen to your favorite shows, see our social media posts, enter exclusive contests, and more. Just search for AM 1280 The Patriot in the App Store.
Welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Is me, Brad Carlson.
There was this kid.
One final segment on the broadcast. We're going to wrap up here. Well, we've pretty much put one election in the rearview mirror. Never too early to talk about 2022, is it? I've kind of been discussing a little bit. Well, I mean, since a Republican has not won a statewide race in Minnesota since 2006, speculation abounds as to whom the GOP is considering to run against Governor Tim Walz. This is from the Star Tribune. A personal friend of President Trump's, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, has openly mulled a gubernatorial bid. Oh, sorry, that was me banging my head against the table here. Several members of Congress and the legislature are testing the waters after spending the past year bashing Walz's measures to curb the COVID-19 pandemic, and an ex-Minnesota Viking is considering a play for chief executive, too. Lindell told the Star Tribune last week that he is 90 to 95% likely to run for governor next year, offering Minnesota Republicans the biggest test of Trump's ongoing traction. The honorary chairman of Trump's campaign in Minnesota, Lindell, remains among the highest profile figures still pursuing legal efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election amid evidence-free claims of voter fraud. Lindell said he has so far poured more than $1 million of his own money into such endeavors, and that he has been working closely with former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn on probing allegations of election fraud. He said he would make a decision on 2022 once we know Donald Trump is our president. So now that Donald Trump's not going to be president, is he not going to make a decision? I'm confused by that. Anyways, and added that he doesn't feel pressure to announce anytime soon because people know who I am. I think I would bring common sense and unity, Lindell said. Have you read some of your past statements in the newspaper, Mr. Lindell? I don't know. Unity? Yeah. It's a business where you run things like a business. I look at problems and solutions, and that's what it's going to manifest into. I'll just say this. If the MyPillow guy ends up being the most formidable candidate to declare, then let me be one of the first to say congratulations on your reelection, Governor Walz. I mean, I'm sorry. Mike Lindell's not fit for office. Prince of a guy. I met him at the state fair. Last time the Patriot was at the state fair, 2018, he was a guest on when Mark Walters of Armed American Radio was in town doing a broadcast. Mike Lindell appeared on his show. Heck of a nice guy. He's got a genuine love and joy of the Lord in his heart and in his voice, just a prince of a guy. And his story is very compelling, going from crack addict to multi-million dollar CEO of a company where he just took an idea and ran with it. His story is literally the American dream. But given some of the things he said, go look at bradcarlson.org. I posted last on my blog, bradcarlson.org. I posted a video where he went into some sort of rambling dissertation after the riots, where he basically said, "Oh, you know, my niece was down there at them riots. They're making too much of it. You know, you had these Antifa provocateurs there and something." It's like, oh my God. No, Mike Lindell cannot be the most formidable candidate. Who that would be, I don't know. Again, Matt Burke was an ex-Minnesota Viking. They're talking about political aspirations. Again, Matt Burke, Mike Lindell, huge name recognition. That's important. But do they have the ability to deliver a coherent message? Mike Lindell, I don't think, does. Matt Burke, I don't know. I have no idea. Scott Jensen, former state senator, he certainly made a national profile for himself when talking about COVID. He's a physician and was attacked by, I think, the Board of Physicians, something like that, for they claimed he spread misinformation. He was ultimately cleared, I think, by the Board of Physicians. He got an anonymous charge that he was spreading false information. The Board of Physicians ultimately cleared him. So he's making a national name for himself. A friend of the broadcast, Karen Housley, has been a name that's been bandied about. Now, she's only got 2 years in her current Senate term because, of course, they're up again in a couple years because of redistricting. So would Karen forego her Senate seat and run for governor? I don't know. She's ran for state Senate before, or U.S. Senate before, so she's run a statewide race before. Other names I'm currently hearing, Julie Rosen, who is a state senator out of the Albert Lea area. Paul Gazelka, Senate majority leader. Again, I don't know about that. Not formidable statewide. That's just my opinion. So, yeah, once again, we're going to be discussing, can the Republicans break their losing streak of statewide races? Again, it dates way back to 2006. So it's 14 years and going pretty strong. So I don't know that there's a candidate out there as yet. But I can't emphasize enough, Mike Lindell, God love him. If he's your top candidate, the losing streak will continue. I'll just leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, I'd enjoyed it. AM 1280, The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Appreciate the time, as always. Godspeed, my friends. Have yourselves a blessed week. To the world. Closing
time. Turn all of the lights on. The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and we have a whole new take on the famous Holes for Heroes Ice Fishing Tournament. This year, we're making it a virtual tournament from January 1st through February 6th. You get to fish where you want and when you want. You'll find all the details and how to enter and how to submit your fish at fishingforlife.org. You post your fish online with us, and we'll keep you posted on what place you're in at fishingforlife.org.
This is a national healthcare alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, listen closely. Now, regardless of your age, if you have insurance, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies with little to no out-of-pocket cost. Get free delivery, free information, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers for free. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details. Toll free at this number. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, you could get a meter upgrade. In addition, we'll give you a free pair of diabetic socks as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you suffer with diabetes and have insurance, you may qualify to get free delivery of your supplies.
800-439-7409. 800-439-7409. 800-439-7409. That's 800-439-7409.
Does your office need a little TLC? Do you notice your bathrooms are a bit smelly? Are the surfaces in your break room a little sticky? And isn't that the same coffee spill on the floor and chili splatter in the microwave from weeks ago? If so, I've got the solution. Hi, I'm Tasha, owner of Forever Cleaning. We're family-owned and offer affordable, reliable office cleaning all over the Twin Cities metro area. So if your office is screaming for help, call me today. Let's get you scheduled for your free walkthrough so you can receive your free quote at 763-807-9817. If you mention this ad, you'll receive 15% off your first month of service. Again, call 763-807-9817. Or you can visit my website at forevercleaning.com. That's the number 4, EVRcleaning.com. Remember, Forever Cleaning is so thorough, you'll wonder if your mom snuck in overnight and cleaned.